A vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Welcome here in this being the Archdiocese of New York. We have a very special first-class feast coming up on Thursday, St. Patrick. In Ireland, of course, it's a day of obligation, not in America. It's a third-class feast outside of New York, first class here. And for the whole Universal Church, on Saturday is another very major first-class feast, Saint Joseph, to whom the month of March is dedicated. So you have a litany of Saint Joseph. We'll pray after Mass, and there's another prayer on this sheet you'll be given. Starting on the back, to thee, O blessed Joseph. We'll say that with the prayers at the end of Mass, which we normally pray for the conversion of Russia. That's since the 1930s. The Pope ordered that we pray those Leonine prayers after Mass for that intention at the request of the Queen of Heaven. But what we always add is we pray for the consecration and the conversion of Russia. We'll do that after Mass, and then the prayer to St. Joseph and the litany. Now, next Sunday, Father will read all of our society, will reconsecrate our society to St. Joseph, which prayer is on the back here, which will be read next week after Mass. So they're the great feasts coming up in this great period of fasting. I don't know if you knew Kathleen Monaghan from here, New York, but her mother died, Frances, God rest her. I don't know if you knew Florentine Magliore. She used to go to Westbury, sometimes Farmingville. She died in her home country of Dominica in the Caribbean, aged 97. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Oh, by the way, there's another feast coming up. It's not easy to find. I printed out the Mass text for the Feast of the Holy Shroud of Turin. It's not in your 62 Missal. It's not in the Missals except the really old, early 20th century and centuries before the 20th. But it's a beautiful feast. You can read the text. I'll leave it here. It's downloadable by a website called Maternal Heart of Mary. You can download these special Masses. That's this coming Friday. And on the Friday of the third Sunday of Lent, after the third Sunday, is another feast of the five holy wounds of our Lord. So I'll put these at the back. I'll also leave behind one copy, which is 20 pages, but it's really good in case you haven't seen Archbishop Vigano. A bishop God has raised up for our times. This document on the Russia-Ukraine crisis is extremely interesting and helpful. Clearly, we need to pray for those people suffering in Ukraine, which is, as you know, suffering a great deal. And for your research, I recommend the website called LifeSite News. It's very helpful for religious and secular news, and I urge you, as a special sacrifice, to switch off mainstream media in Lent and beyond. On the other hand, there's two figures on mainstream media who are more in line with Catholic morality. One, of course, is my old friend Tucker Carlson. But there's a retired colonel called Douglas McGregor, and he's been hitting the mainstream media and then thrown off because he's too solid, sound. He doesn't want war. And he's explaining a lot of very sensible things. He has a website, Colonel Retired Douglas McGregor. So you have with this crisis a great deal more to pray for in this month of St. Joseph, the patron saint of the whole Catholic Church. We encouraged by the fact that the bishops of Ukraine have called upon Pope Francis to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart with all the bishops, as heaven has requested in the messages of Our Lady Fatima in 1917. One little reminder, in 1917, Ukraine was part of Russia, and the capital of Ukraine, Kiev, was the mother city of all of Russia, and it's where Saint Vladimir was baptized in the 990s, and that river, the Dnieper, was used for baptizing thousands of the original Russian / Ukrainian people. And it's also a river that's dripping with the blood of many martyrs, or flowing with the blood of martyrs. So the bishops have requested this of the Pope. Now, whatever you think of the man who sits upon the See of St. Peter, he is recognized by the world as the Pope, and apparently he dedicated his priesthood to Our Lady of Fatima. And when he became Pope, he contacted the founder of the Fatima Center, Father Gruner, to encourage him and bless him in his work, the late Father Gruner. Very mysterious what's going on. We're all in the hands of God, but it will happen one day. And remember, the Blessed Mother said that God has a special place for Russia in his heart. So many saints and martyrs, and the common people who are not necessarily guilty of the schism of their superiors have been for 1,000 years completely devoted to Our Blessed Lady. So the devil has had targeted Russia for centuries. And for decades, as you know, in the 20th century, they were under the domination of the devil completely. And in the last 20 years or more since the dissolution of the Soviet Union, I don't know if you realize, but the man whose baptismal name is Vladimir, currently president of Russia, has rebuilt thousands of churches demolished by the Soviets, rebuilt hundreds of monasteries and basilicas, and re-establishing orthodoxy. A point on that, capital O Orthodoxy is a schismatic church separate from the Catholic Church, but it is a carbon copy of the traditional Catholic Church of the Eastern Rites. Their liturgy is exactly the same as our Eastern Rite Catholic brethren, except they leave out the name of the Pope for reasons that go back into history. So their masses and sacraments are valid and traditional, and it's reviving in Russia. Just consider these things as you hear the news, because we really don't know what's going on. But we do know there's been an awful lot of unspeakable lies and literally fake videos of fake or other wars pretending that this is going on in Ukraine. So the disinformation is phenomenal, and so many people calling for outright war, it's unspeakably bad. No matter what happens, because of the invasion of Ukraine and the sanctions put on by the world, the West, and the corporations, we are going to suffer. We are going to suffer enormous hardships this very year. Without doubt, unquestionable. And remember, Our Lady promised that Russia, if it converts, when it converts, will be an instrument of the conversion of many other peoples and nations. But as long as the Pope and the bishops do not show their obedience to the Queen of Heaven on mission from the King of Kings, and they don't consecrate Russia, this nation will be used as a scourge for the decadent West and for the rest of the world. And that's what's happening. That's the theological background to what you're seeing on TV. One other point for announcement is at the back also, there are a few envelopes, big ones, with the Ridgefield Capital Campaign. We're trying to raise $3 million to continue looking after the 7 priests, 3 brothers, 6 states that are served by the priory there in Ridgefield. Building is dilapidated. It's being repaired, but we're having to borrow from headquarters. But it's a very well presented document. And it's on the website, sspxridgefield.com. First thing you'll see is Enter or the Capital Campaign. So I urge you to keep up your prayers and novena for St. Joseph's great feast coming up next Saturday. God willing, Father Solzhen will be back here for 4 o'clock Sunday. In the preface of these Sundays in Lent, we pray in the middle of the preface, O Lord, Father Almighty, everlasting God, who by this bodily fast does four things. Curb our vices, lift up our minds, bestow upon us strength or virtue and rewards. Four things. These are the things that restraining our appetites will do. I want to remind you that this gospel was chosen today towards the beginning of Lent, where our Lord gives a glimpse before his passion of his shining glory, his radiant glory from his divinity, which is more manifest after his resurrection. And in heaven, St. Paul says, God dwells in inaccessible light. We pray for the dead. Eternal light shine upon them. The light that comes from the Sacred Heart of our Lord and flashed through his whole body in that vision on the Mount of Transfiguration. Why is it chosen for this period of Lent? There's a feast day of the Transfiguration on August 6th. In your missal. Well, first of all, the two great persons of the Old Testament who appeared with our Lord, the great legislator Moses, the great prophet Elijah, Elias in our Bible, these two also shone with the great glorious light after their 40 days of fasting. Moses on the Mount, 40 days in the light of God. He was so shining with brightness that the people of Israel could not look upon him. They had to turn away and he had to cover his head because of the brilliance of the light coming out of Moses after being with God and fasting for 40 days. Elias fasted for 40 days and had the strength from the miraculous bread that came to him by the angel before his 40-day fast. The strength of that bread gave him the strength to go to Mount Horeb. And he was taken up in a chariot of fire, shining with glory, taken up into paradise. And so our Lord himself, 40 days fast, and now shining with glorious light. And it's connected to the epistle where our Lord tells us through the Holy Apostle Paul that your sanctification is God's will, and your sanctification is progressive purification. Purity and holiness go hand in hand, and without holiness, nobody sees God. Hence, without purity, nobody sees God. So purity of body and soul, purity of intention. Penance is the way to purification. If you have any silverware at home, you know that it starts to tarnish after time, even if you do nothing with it. Just exposure to the atmosphere, the silver must be polished with what we call elbow grease. And it will shine up again when you polish it. That's what penance does for us. Polishes up the soul. But for those with serious sins, there's a seriously broken relationship. Penance, followed by holy contrition, will actually restore that relationship. And then progressive purification. So we're in the midst of 40 days of penance. Just to remind you, the vision of the third secret of Fatima wasn't released until the year 2000. And the page that describes the vision of the children depicts a holy angel with a flaming sword crying out three times, penance, 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 which is what the world needs. Because penance is the justice of God. If we don't do it, we will suffer for it. God himself will impose the penance, like the world wars of the 20th century and the one that's coming. God will impose it if we don't do it ourselves. The three classic types of penance are every type of prayer, private or in common, vocal, mental, liturgical prayer. Any kind of fasting, which in the broad sense is every kind of restraint of our appetites, custody of the eyes and of the heart, every restraining of our senses is fasting. And the third type is almsgiving. Every kind of generosity, mercy, kindness that we show to others. And any of these three items with the intention and the motive to make up for sin. That's penance. And we need to do penance because we have sinned. The more we have sinned, the more we are bound to do penance. And so in Lent, the preface speaks about fasting, this bodily fast, which can be challenging for those who are not practiced in it. But I remind you that these works of penance can be acts, which acts are repeated, become habits, which habits under the light of grace become infused virtues. And then, of course, there is a sacrament of penance. And the sacrament of penance supercharges all of your works and even the habit of penance. And Mother Church requires that in this Lenten season or in the Easter period, we must approach the Holy Sacrament of Penance once a year. From the age of reason, average around 7 years of age, once a year we need to purify our souls in the sacred bath of holy penance in the sacrament, and we must by that means purify our hearts ready to receive a fervent communion, again once a year as the minimum. Our Lord said, unless you do penance, you will all perish. He repeated that twice at the beginning of St. Luke chapter 13. And he also said, unless you receive Holy Communion, the bread of life, you will not have life in you. You will not be saved if you do not receive worthily Holy Communion. He didn't say how often we have to receive. One communion in your life is enough to make you a saint. But the church specifies what our Lord has established, and that's once a year. And you cannot receive communion if you have mortal sin that is unconfessed since the day of your baptism. These are basic catechism things, but I want to add to this the revelations of our Lord to the of the Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary, and the revelations of the Queen of Heaven to the Fatima children of the first five Saturdays, the first nine Fridays of the month, first five Saturdays. Both of these indicate that heaven wants us to go to confession at least every month. But that is not binding under mortal sin. Once a year only is binding. And in fact, strictly speaking, if you've never got any mortal sins to confess, you don't have to go even annually. But the heaven has given us encouragement to go monthly, and there are many saints who would go weekly or more often. Saint Padre Pio would go every day if he could to confession, but he was lucky to have a bunch of other priests there living with him. He didn't have to disturb them. But someone asked him, why do you go to confession every day? What have you got to say? You wonder what a saint says when he goes to confession. Well, he answered this person who inquired, every day I have to dust the dust off my shoulder. That's what I do to my soul. If the dust stays there, it will coagulate into real dirt. And so that's why he goes every day. So weekly, monthly, but at least annually. So penance is the best way we can use to overcome our sins and those of the world. We have to do penance for those who are not doing penance for themselves. That's the thing. That's true charity. And that's what our Lord and our Lady did. They suffered a great deal. They didn't have any temptations from the interior concupiscence, which we suffer from because our flesh is poisoned by the original sin. They had trials and temptations from external sources, from the devil and from wicked people. And as we approach the season of Passion Tide, we do very well to meditate on every detail of our Lord's Passion. If you haven't read the Gospels, I'm continually surprised there are Catholics who've never read all four Gospels, let alone the whole Bible. Start with that, probably the Gospel of St. Luke, because he was the medical doctor who gave the details of the Passion that are not in the other Gospels. Or the great American Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen. His Life of Christ is a masterpiece. And if you haven't read A Good Life of Christ, that's a good place to start. And meditate what our Lord suffered for us right up unto his death. He had to die for our sins, because justice requires that a man who is one with God and one with humanity be the one who pays for the sins that we deserve. Perfect justice and perfect charity meet in the Passion and death of our Lord. That's why we say the sorrowful mysteries on Sundays in Lent, and I urge you to pick up some spiritual reading that will help you. So I recommend daily Mass if you can. Traditional only Mass. Daily, at least spiritual communion. Daily rosary, some daily sacrifice, some daily spiritual reading. A chapter a day will help keep the devil away. And so I commend to you these suggestions for your Lenten penance and perseverance. Pray fervently. God loves you. He loves you more when you're seeking to do his will, and his will is you become holy. The more holy we become, the more purified we become, the more shining with light of divine grace in us. There are saints who've also shone with special light. People pick them out in a crowd because of the light that emanates from the saints. Of course, now they're all in the glorious light of God. And this also is motivating to us. The same three apostles that our Lord chose to witness his transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, were there a week later to witness his disfiguration in the agony of the garden. And they were there to be fortified, to witness to the truth of our Lord's divinity shining through and his humanity suffering so atrociously for our sins. Peter would be the head of the church, the first chain and a link of unbreakable line of sovereign pontiffs until the end of time. Many of them saints, most of them good, some of them bad, a few of them terrible, and a few, in fact, more than a dozen in history, anti-popes, not even valid popes. But the chain remains. And then James was the first to die for our Lord among the apostles, martyred in his early young age. And John, the one who lingered longest, gave the greatest testimony to the divinity of our Lord, suffered martyrdom, but died from natural old age. So these are the great heroes among the 12, our Lord's favorite among the favorites. So pray to them for perseverance. And yes, be motivated. The more we carry on the rest of Lent, just a few more weeks until Holy Week, the more we follow the mind of the church, the more purified, the more holy we will be, the more we'll benefit from the glorious period of Easter. So ask Our Lady and St. Joseph, these holy apostles and the great Old Testament heroes, Moses and Elias, to help us in our Lenten discipline. And God will reward you. He loves you. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.